on the same website next week so we can have the same messages? So I'll get on Joyce Myers, you know, we'll look in the February month, see if we come up with anything.
Yeah, sounds good.
Maybe something on manhood. Okie dokie, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I pray that you'd help us as we read a story in the Old Testament about a fella, young fella, following your words and given an amazing prophecy, but then also died a premature death because a godly man, a good man, an old prophet lied to him. And I pray that you'd help us to see how we can apply something like this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember in Romans 15, it says the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, comfort, and patience. So we read Old Testament for those things. And then 1 Corinthians 10 says the things written back then are written for examples. So we can look at this from a Jewish perspective that it was a young prophet, no name given. He was given an amazing prophecy. He fulfilled the prophecy, or meaning he uttered the prophecy to counterfeit a counterfeit Judaism. So this is where it goes back under Jeroboam. So it's a counterfeit Judaism. And the prophecy was fulfilled 350 years later. So he named the young man and everything. And so it was fulfilled 350 years later. And how do we look at it? Okay, the way it happens in America is young people go to a Christian college. They assume, usually many of them assume the book in their hands is God's word. And then the godly professors talk them out of it. And so that's a pattern that happens. It happened to me. And so I know how that feels and everything. So far we've gone through 1 Kings 13 down to 18 where the old prophet lied to him. So the young prophet gave the words God wanted him to do. Jeroboam was mad because the words were negative. Jeroboam got a leprosy on the spot. The young prophet prayed over him. He got healed. Jeroboam said, I want you to come and eat, you know, break bread with me. He said, no, I was told I'm not to do that. He's on his way home. An old prophet heard about what the young prophet said. He sent his boys to get the guy, to try to get him to come and sit down with him, have a meal with him. And the young prophet said, no, I can't do that. So an evil man couldn't deceive him. But then the old prophet said, well, an angel talked to me that said that you can eat with me. So now what happens in that boy's life, in that man's life, there are two authorities. The one he got from God, one he got from man who claimed an angel told him. So he's got two conflicting authorities. So who's going to decide which one's right? Well, in this case, the young man decided. So he became his own final authority. He went with the old prophet. And then this is a part I don't get is why did the old prophet pronounce judgment on him when he's sitting down to eat with him? It's like, thanks, bud. And then the kid goes home and a lion kills him in a way. So this is a trouble in the Catholic Church. They say scripture, tradition. So which is right? The Pope comes in and he tells us which is right. So he's the final authority. So if they got two Bibles in a church, which one's right? Well, whatever one he prefers. So that becomes a final authority. That's what he's showing us here. So when you get in discussion with somebody, make sure you start, where's the final authority? Okay, that's where you start. You don't have to say King James Bible. You just say the Bible, and then you can go from there either way. Okay, so, and either way works, and then eventually it's going to come to the King James Bible. So at the end of verse 18, he says, the old guy says, but he lied. But he lied unto him. Now, this is what preachers, pastors, prophets, or scholars, this is what they do. They lie habitually. Now, you have to figure out, what I try to do is this person a thermostat or a thermometer? Okay, a thermometer registers the temperature. That's what a lot of people are, where they're just registering what they've been told. A thermostat determines the temperature. And so a thermostat, it's rare you see them change, where a thermometer can be worked with. And so that's what you find out. You learn with experience certain things. Several years ago, I had George Malkmus down at Rensselaer. He was a health guy. And, people come for that health stuff. So some guy in the back saw that I had King James stuff around the building. This is out at Rensselaer. And he started asking questions. He's a new King Jimmy guy. So we got asking questions, and we got talking about it. And I could see that the guy believed he was his final authority. And I asked him, I said, if you were a king on an island, you inspired laws, would you use your ability as a king to preserve those laws from change? He said, of course. I said, why do you think you're smarter than God? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you, in good common sense, says you're going to preserve your laws from change, but yet you don't think God did that. So you think you're smarter than God. So in the conversation, I said, you know what I appreciate about you? You're honest about your dishonesty. And that went over like a lead balloon. And so what I was doing, I'm trying to hit him in the conscience. Hit him in the conscience. So for me, the first book I came across was this one. It's a very simple one, Let's Weigh the Evidence, Chick Publications. And then after I went through this, on the back it's got 8 other books. I bought every one of those. And so I started checking it out. Then I started writing Christian colleges and asking them questions. And then when I started teaching the young people here after Grant Lawrence left, Grant Lawrence was the pastor prior to me. He was a BBFer, but yet he was a psychology major. He had a Franciscan monk statue in his backyard up there, in the yard, you guys. And I saw that. I said to my dad, what's this? I was helping dad, I think, with the parking lot or something. And he said, I don't know. Well, Grant Lawrence said to the folks on a Sunday, he said, I resign, effective immediately. And, of course, knowing my dad, and there was undercurrents going on. So he said, I resign. Brother Paul, you remember this? He said, effective immediately, I will not answer any questions. I will be here for 30 days. And so that, of course, alerted everybody. Monday, he packed up and left Tuesday. He lied. Yeah, didn't count very good. So he was teaching Bible in the school at the time to the junior hires and high schools. And I asked Debbie, I said, who's helping teaching the kids? Nobody. So then I volunteered to start teaching them, and we really had a good time. We really had a good time with those kids. Now, the kids came from 3 outside churches, Lakedale Bible Church, which is gone, Lake Village Baptist Church, and Emmanuel Baptist in Hebron at the time. Well, it's kind of outside of Hebron. Those kids were excited about the Bible, go home and tell their parents, and then tell their pastor, and the excitement kind of went away. Okay, and you would think the people would be happy. The kids are excited about the Bible. But that's how it goes. Now, one assignment I had for those young people was to write Christian colleges and ask them 4 questions. here's the colleges I had, and we marked them off. And the questions they were to ask: do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yeah. Well, here's Eric Carlson. Many years ago, 1996. Abby Sutton. Boy, Jerome Davis. Let's see. Okay, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe that God's Word is perfect today? Key word is today. And then I had him ask, sister, do you know what Leviathan is in Job 41? That was a funny one. That was just for our fun. And here's all the questions, here's all the answers, and all the answers. They all said yes for number one, like this guy says, absolutely. This is Bethel College. I went over there to play basketball once. Absolutely. Do you believe God's Word is perfect today? If there are any mistakes, where are they? And he wrote down here, God has preserved his word exactly as he intended. It is completely authoritative and without error. What does he mean by that? And then Leviathan was a fun one. Hippo, alligator, great monster. Yeah, they all had that, all that stuff. Let's see, I got PBI in here too. Theirs was funny. It's just one-liners. Let's see that one. Tennessee Temple. Here's Jennifer Carlson. Steve Carlson Jr. Branded for home. West Coast Baptist College. Leviathan of Job 41 appears to be some kind of a reptile. Anthony Prominence. Jacob Parker, man, we're going back some time here. Aaron, I'm looking for PBIs, Northland Baptist Bible College. Oh, here we go. Brother Vance answered this one. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. The King James is the Word of God. Preserved for us in English, Leviathan is a devil. I mean, boom, 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 boom. I mean, he answered them. So, yeah, these are funny to kind of go through. Goshen College. Goshen is a Mennonite school over in Goshen, Indiana, but I think it's been overrun by the Rainbow People. Yeah. Yeah, it's gotten really bad. So, when I did it for myself personally, I was trying to reason with myself. Who are you? You're a punk. You don't know anything. This godly man believes this. This man believes this. What do you think? They're all wrong. And so that's why I decided to ask these questions. And yeah, it was something. And so in 1 Kings 13, if you drop down to 18 where we left off, it says, and he lied. When they say the originals, they're lying. They've never seen them. Okay? And they lie so much, they don't see that they're lying. They've done it so much, their conscience has been seared. So he says, 18, but he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Okay? Mistake. Error. Wrong. He should have followed the direct word of God that was given to him. And so then 20, paragraph mark, it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. So you see, the Lord even speaks through this guy, even though, was it a test for this young fellow? I don't know. And then the old guy said, he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord. He didn't say that before that. He said, an angel talked to me. If the young man was alert to that, he could have said, well, so what? I want to hear, thus saith the Lord. And again, it says, thus saith the Lord. It didn't say, thus meaneth the Lord. Here's what the Bible says, but this is what it means. So he said, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the word of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall come down unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And of course, the young guy could have said, thank you so much, dirty dog. You lied to me. Why'd you lie to me? So here he lied, but yet the Lord spoke through him. And so this is a truth that a lot of times, especially Bible believers, don't want to admit, that God can speak through the men who read the new Bibles. God can speak through them. We can get truth from them. Okay, and it's not that we are palsy-palsies with them. We'll pull some of the chicken and leave the bones. It's up to them. It's going to be on their head when they talk people out of their faith. Several years ago, we were knocking on doors in Mount Air, the place that now has a mountain. It's called a dump pile. Didn't have a mountain back then. And Jan came across the assistant pastor of Burr Oak Mennonite Church. It's now Burr Oak Community Church. They dropped the Mennonite. And it was an assistant pastor. And so they had a discussion. He said, I heard about your husband. And she said, would you like to talk to him? He said, yeah. So I went and talked to him, he and I. And when it's just one-on-one, there's no need to jump on a pulpit and scream at somebody. And so we were just chatting. He went to the master's college. That's John MacArthur School. I think we have one in here from MacArthur School, I think. And so he did not like the NIV because he thought it was a poor translation. He was a New American Standard guy. And so I said, fine. And I said, but your Bible did the same thing as the NIV, here, 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 and here. And I pointed those things out to him. And he said, I've never heard this before. I said, that's okay. But and then I pointed a few more things out. And then his heart came out, basically. He said, you know, they kept attacking my book. Goes into master, they kept going after my book. So his conclusion was, instead of staying with the book, his conclusion was, I'm going to learn the original languages so that I could get it, he thinks, straight from the source. And so that's what he did. And so then we talked for about a couple hours and then we left. And I waited a couple, two, three, 4 months or whatever. Crossed paths again. And the second time around, he said, you'll be glad to know that I return to the King James. I said, well, that's good. That's good. I said, but do you believe it? He said, no. He lost his faith. Now, he ended up leaving Burr Oak Mennonite Church. I think went down to Texas. I lost track of him. But I know how he felt. I know how he felt because that's how I felt when I, which Bible's true? I didn't know. And but thank the Lord in his mercy and his grace, he started showing some ideas, brought some things across my path. And I've been rejoicing ever since, that's for sure. And so, okay, in verse 23, after he was pronounced judgment, it says, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet of whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was, notice, cast in the way. Okay, now that goes against nature. God's animals obey his command when he orders them. So this lion should have ate the guy, should have ate him, or the donkey, But he just slew the man. And his carcass was cast away, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. So that's the nature, the animals of God, they follow his commands, they follow his wishes. The thing with Balaam and the donkey, and it's funny why the Lord uses, you know, a donkey for these things, or as they pronounce in Pennsylvania, donkey. That was a funny, the gent says monkey, donkey. That's the way it's pronounced, donkey, monkey. And so in Colorado, she would say donkey in the class, and the girls started laughing because they thought she's afraid to say jackass or ass, but they were kind of laughing, monkey, donkey. And so, but as far as that goes, it's funny the Lord uses that, but to me, the funniest thing about Balaam and the donkey is that he talked back to it. It wasn't like, hello. You would have thought he would have put a harness on him and said, let's go to a circus, man. I got a talking animal. Make some money out of this thing. But and the animals, they see the spirit world when the Lord wants them to see that. And so so casting away in the New Testament. Let's see if we can find something that goes along with that idea. 1 Corinthians 9. This is the incorruptible crown. This is one of the crowns that's going to be offered at the judgment seat. I do believe it's someone who seeks to take care of his physical body. And so in verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? Nowadays, the New Bible should say everybody gets a certificate. They don't keep score. But then if you got a good player in a team, that kid's keeping score, that's for sure. But the other ones that are jumping around in the outfield, you know, picking the grass, picking the daisies, or, oh, did we win? So, okay, and it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, except for the sport he's striving to master. So he's temperate in everything else. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run that not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. So the track and boxing or wrestling are the chosen sports here. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So there's that castaway. Of course, the Arminians use that to say that the person lost their salvation, but that's not what he's talking about. You know, there's a lot of people in the ministry who are teaching the Bible, but they are cast away. They're not bearing the fruit that God wants them to. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Why is it that many of these professors, and many of them use the King James Bible. Some of them obviously use other ones. How do they miss something so simple as Leviathan? It's really simple. Leviathan is only found 5 times in the Bible. And all you have to do is look up 4 verses, because one of the verses has it twice. In that day, the Lord with a strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the crooked serpent. And when I did that in Romania in 1991, I could hear them say in English, Leviathan, that the devil. They got it, but all these guys don't get it. Whale, whirlpool. Now, after we did all that, and because we had the Christian school, sometimes other people come from Christian colleges to try to recruit the kids. Maranatha Baptist Bible School came, one of their fellas. So we had 20 or 30 young people here, junior high and high school, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and after he gave his presentation, one of the kids said, who's Leviathan in Job 41? And the guy goes, you know, that's funny. Somebody just asked that question in a letter. to our school. And they said, yeah, that was us. And after they said that, he packed all his things up. As they said, they told me, because I was in my office. They ran in there and said, you wouldn't believe what that guy did. After we told him we were the ones that asked the question, he hurriedly packed everything off and took off. I mean, it's like he was, you know, shocked. And it was a good lesson for those kids, because, man, that was a real eye-opener to them. That was Maranatha Baptist Bible College. It used to be Dr. Cederholm. Then it was a Weininger. Weininger took it over from Cederholm, and I've got four letters back and forth between he and I, Weininger. And he said his final authority was the received text in the Elad Metzger. So that's two different Greek manuscripts that made him the final authority. And so, yep, that's what happened. So he said, I myself should be a castaway. This is not dealing with somebody losing their salvation. It's somebody who may be still expressing the words of God, but they've been cast away as far as the fruit that they can opportunity to get. And I had to go to 1 Thessalonians 2. I forgot to get there. Chapter 2, verse 13. Why is it that these people read the same Bible that we read, but they don't see a lot of things you and I see? The answer is right here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When a person, okay, these folks believe that a translation is man's word. They'll read the King James, but in their heart, they don't believe it. That word is a work of man, and therefore, it's not working effectively in their life. And that's why they don't see it. Okay, and so that's the key. And that's the question they often ask, you know, can a translation be inspired? And they all will say no, and then you can go with that. Okay, back in 1 Kings 13. The young man is cast in a waver at verse 24. A lion met him. A lion kills him. He doesn't eat the carcass. He doesn't eat the donkey. Usually they tear right into the carcass, tears right into the belly section. They go for the vital organ right in there after they kill him. And then 25 said, behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in away, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. And notice it's a lowercase w. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him, slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. So the second prophet prophesied of the destruction of the first prophet. And I don't know where that guy plays in the thing as far as that goes. And 27, he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. Man, how much time was involved with that? Back and forth, get the thing there. All of a sudden, you know, rigor mortis is set in somewhere in there. Lion still hanging around. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. It's just absolutely against nature. It's like that one time when the Philistines, remember, they wanted to send the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. They wanted to make sure things were, you know, is this, you know, supernatural? So they put a female, a cow, driving the cart, but yet they kept the calves here And she went and followed exactly what the Lord wanted that animal to do. And her calf, that was against nature. Okay, and so the animals in nature do follow the orders of God when He orders them to do certain things. So, 29, and the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, laid it upon the ass, brought it back, and the old prophet came to the city to mourn and bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, "What, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried, and lay my bones beside his bones." You know, I don't get that. You lied to him. You destroyed this young fellow. Why? I don't really understand why that's what's in that guy's head. 32, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which were in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. Okay, that is 350 years later. And in 2 Kings 23, he names the young king, Josiah, and all that comes true. And prophecy, of course, is how you prove the Bible. And then it says, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way. You would have thought that guy who got healed. You know, the heart of man is amazing. You would have thought that. But made again the lowest of the people, priest of the high places. Lowest of character, lowest of morality. Just scum, okay, of the high places. And he said, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin. Okay, unique definition of sin in the Old Testament. This thing became sin. Eventually, this ends in sodomy. Eventually, that's where it heads. Okay, and sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. So that's, you know, the idea. Chapter 13, 1 Kings chapter 13, we have an old prophet lying to a young prophet, and a young prophet getting destroyed. You know, what's the chances of that, 13? The Bible's a fascinating book. It's stuff like that just amazes me about the Bible. And so that's chapter 13. Okay, we'll stop there. If anybody wants to look at some of these letters, they're here. Let's go pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for this storyline. I do pray that you'd help us to be people that truly believe your words. We know that you've preserved them without